From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Clean drinking water is widely considered a basic human need, but it's a vital resource that can be overlooked or even taken for granted every time we open the tap, and involves a complex and time-consuming process. For years, a small crew of workers in Sacramento have been hard at work to keep that water flowing at a plant that's over a century old, and they're exhausted, Facing chronic staffing issues and a risk of burnout. Cap Radio local government reporter Riley Palmer visited the city's water treatment plant and joins us with her reporting on the situation. Hey, Riley.
Hi, Vicky.
All right. So what led you to start this reporting to explore the water treatment plant in the city?
Yeah, I mean, it's a rather niche area of interest, so I think that's a totally natural question. So as a local government reporter, particularly for the city of Sacramento, I spent a lot of time in meetings, and then earlier this year, a lot of meetings about the city of Sacramento's budget, which, shameless plug, I also wrote about that, and that is on our website. But anyways, something that's come up a lot in these meetings were the issue of vacancies in a number of departments, because, you know, the city is accounting for paying for these salaries, but there's nobody in those positions. Before the budget was adopted for this fiscal year, I spoke with the main Local 39 union representative, and Local 39 is the main one for most city employees. His name is Peyton Martin, and he alerted me to some of the vacancies within this specific department known as water treatment and how important their job is. So when I heard from him, just like how this small crew of essential workers, how they were working 60-hour weeks in order to make sure residents in the city have safe drinking water, I wanted to investigate a little further to both highlight the critical work these people do, while also just look a little deeper into like why there are these vacancies and how much money the city is spending on things like overtime.
Yeah, I mean, people might not think of water treatment on the same level as other critical public services like police or fire, but this plays an equally critical role, right?
Yeah. So when I was mentioning the city budget earlier, you know, at City Hall during those conversations, a lot of vacancy conversation was about police and fire. And it makes a lot of sense because those departments have a direct impact on emergency situations. When you think 911, you think police and fire. But these water treatment operators and the union representatives, They do say that it's, quote, not as glamorous as police and fire, but it's still a critical service. I mean, they make sure drinking water is safe coming out of pipes, and it's a sector of public safety that you mentioned is highly overlooked. To give you an idea, here's a little back and forth I had with these two plant operators, George Avalos and Greg Ross, on the subject.
We got to protect the public with clean drinking water, right? And the water goes into the hospitals, the dialysis programs or, you know, dialysis, and to the general public. So without us staffing it, making the water, I mean, it's just like medical, fire, law enforcement.
Yeah. Like, I guess when I was talking to people about the vacancies, I was just like, I mean, that puts a lot of pressure on a system that is pretty essential.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of the pillars of civilization. If you don't have clean drinking water, everyone's dying. So.
So tell us a little bit about this facility. It's been around for a minute in Sacramento.
Yeah, a minute as in a century, yes. but yeah, so over the course of working on this story, I toured the plant twice and was given a really thorough explanation of how the water is treated. So shout out to the department for letting me learn more about what they do. I felt like I was in a science class. It was very good for my brain.
Nice.
But there are two water treatment plants within the city. There's the Sacramento River Water Treatment Plant, which I spent the most time with, and the EA Fairbairn plant off of the American River, which is actually basically across the street from where we are right now. The water treatment plants are a 24-hour operation, and both plants take in water from the rivers. They take in about 85% surface water, which is what is coming from the river, and they turn it into drinking water that comes out of our taps if you're a Sacramento resident. And like I mentioned, my story's primary focus was the Sacramento River Water Treatment Plant. And the supervisor over there, Mae Turner, told me that it opened in 1921, and it's often described as the first of its kind west of the Mississippi because of its complexity and size.
All right, well, take us into this science class. What did it look like? Help us visualize this plant.
Okay, well, so from the outside, it's pretty unassuming. It's tucked away near the River District, behind a big, secure-looking gate off of Bannon Street. I had to call for them to let me into the site. And although it's right next to the I-5, it's kind of hard to spot from there. It's pretty large. It's a 45-acre facility. And on the outside, there's multiple grit and sedimentation basins. So think gigantic gray swimming pools. And they sort that surface water coming in from the Sacramento River, at least in the case of this plant, via these underground pipes beneath the freeway. And that plant alone, around this time of year, it processes around 65 million gallons of water daily.
Wow, that sounds like a lot. I mean, so tell us about the people who make this drinking water safe, the workers that you spoke with.
Yeah, so as of July 1st, just to give you a picture of the scale of workers, there are 11 plant operators at the Sacramento River Water Treatment Plant, and there are 5 vacancies. And according to Supervisor Turner, that's a lot of people, especially when you think about, you know, workers having lives outside of their jobs and wanting to maybe go on vacation or take parental leave.
I mean, that's a third. It's 30%.
Yeah, exactly. And I spoke with 4 operators total at the plant for my reporting, who can all attest to routinely working these 60-hour weeks, I mean, sometimes 16-hour days. And all of them are taking, you know, extreme pride in what they're doing, but, you know, they're tired. I based a lot of my story around the plant operator named Madison Malachi, who has worked in the department for 10 years. She started out as an intern and has done every kind of shift there. We talked about what working graveyard shift is like, which is an 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. time. And here's one of my favorite moments from that conversation we had.
I got much happier once I got off of graveyard. I was on graveyard for 6 years myself here until I got into the position that I'm in now. And I feel healthier, I'm happier, you know, I'm not single anymore. I was single for a very long time. And I'm like, oh my God, there's the healthy relationship, like day
now.
Shift, you know, yeah.
I have worked a graveyard shift. I understand It can be brutal. So I understand why it was a relief and even like healthier, you know, not working that graveyard shift for her. So what are some of the challenges that they're facing? What are the concerns that, you know, that workers like Madison have?
Right. I mean, I think some of the main concerns amongst the union members and representatives is kind of this burnout loop, because there are these operators who have to fill in the gaps for these vacancies. And then when they get new hires, like junior plant operators, they're often coming in to work on the graveyard shifts, which are pretty intense, and they don't want to stay because of the vacancies or, you know, the intensity of the schedules for the amount of pay they're making. When other water agencies in Northern California have more incentives, including better pay or a better schedule. Union Representative Martin basically worries that, you know, with these concerns and the vacancies, it's kind of an accident waiting to happen.
There's a limit to how much you can push. At some point, people are going to get burned out, and that's when the mistakes happen. And as people continue to lose, or as they continue to lose people in their senior classifications, they're just really running on luck, I think, a lot, and people's willingness to try and show up to the occasion.
Yeah, I remember in your reporting that, you know, Madison was saying if they're working a 16-hour shift, I mean, it's also just a concern driving home, right? Especially if you're working a graveyard shift and not having that time to rest. So how long have these issues been going on?
Some of the workers and union people say that it's been going on for around 3 years. I mean, in my own reporting, I reviewed a letter of understanding between the city and the union from 2013, which said that they were going to take out an emergency contract as a result of a known staffing shortage at the time. So that was 3 years ago. And they also started some hiring and retention bonuses that are officially like no longer available. And Payton also told me, the union rep, he believes that it's the worst that it's been since he started in his position in 2020. And, you know, as I mentioned before, these plant operators are a very passionate group of people and they care a lot about making sure their job gets done. But they are sacrificing their personal lives and stretching themselves very thin. You mentioned the driving home. That's a real issue. But also, Malachi said, you know, the job might not be physically taxing, but they're working with chemicals around the clock and they oftentimes have to go and look at these and put their human eyes and hands on the machinery to make sure it's working properly.
Yeah. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Cap Radio local government reporter Riley Palmer about Sacramento's water treatment plant and ongoing staffing issues impacting its workers. So what has the city told you about these challenges of staffing at the water treatment plant? Why haven't they been able to fill these vacancies?
Yeah, so after talking with operators directly and people who work at the plant, I spoke with the director of utilities, Dahlia Fadl. Everyone really does seem to be on the same page about what these issues are. You know, uncompetitive pay, difficult work schedules. Fadl, her department, and city management are looking at longer-term solutions. That's what they've said to me, such as increasing salaries or creating an apprenticeship program for students exiting high school to maybe introduce them to a trade they don't know exists. Here's a little bit directly from Fadl about the vacancies.
There really needs to be like a multi-step, you know, way to address the issue. And then once we know more about where the salaries need to be, maybe even looking at scheduling options that some of the other agencies are implementing and having more success with. And is that something we also want to incorporate? But then from there, there's definitely interaction, you know, with our city management to make sure that they approve of those proposals.
Okay, so when it comes to pay, how does Sacramento compare to similar facilities across the region?
So the pay wage for a standard water plant operator is between $32 an hour and $45 an hour. In my research, that's not totally unaligned with places in the region. But something I found interesting was that these graveyard shifts that, you know, I've been told through my reporting nobody really wants to work at the city of Sacramento, they get a 5% shift pay bump for those overnight hours, whereas other agencies in the region pay a bit better. Supervisor Turner said that the city of Vallejo pays a 10% shift differential, and the East Bay Municipal Utilities District, also known as EB Mud, pays about 15%.
Yeah, and that makes a difference, you know, especially
totally.
If you're working those long hours, too. This also comes, as I know you're very well aware, the city has had to close large budget deficits, so there's just less money to go around. They're facing structural budget challenges in the years ahead, too, so
yeah.
The forecast isn't that great for the city of Sacramento fiscally. Do they have the money and the resources to really address the issues at the water treatment plant?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, especially because this department is one of the smaller ones and is not as flashy as police and fire. But I mean, on the surface, one could argue the city is in a place of scaling back financially to deal with this ongoing deficit. So it might not make sense. But when you look a little deeper, the city actually could end up spending more money on contracts for emergency staffing than they would salary for regular employees. I reviewed a proposed emergency staffing contract for this year that would pay outside contractors three times as much as city employed operators. And the city said they've never needed to use any of the emergency staffing contracts that they have just yet, which is, I'm alluding to the one from 2023. But if they don't resolve the issue, I mean, it's a pretty likely scenario that they might end up needing to use it if they're thinking they need to take one out. They've also spent a little over $1 million in overtime costs in 2026. So all to say, if they don't address the issue with a long-term strategy mindset, they could end up spending more money because of the vacancies versus just dealing with them outright.
Yeah, I mean, a contractor making, you know, what, three times more? That's
yeah.
over $100 an
exactly.
hour, right? And then overtime being at, what, over $1 million in overtime costs in 2026. And I guess with contractors, they don't receive benefits, correct?
They don't receive benefits, no. That's a good clarification. In general, I think it's just an interesting thing to look at, like this, how the city decides where to spend its money in terms of staffing and things of that nature.
Mm. So what are these issues facing Sacramento's water treatment plant just say about water worker shortages in this field? I mean, you led with this is a pretty like niche profession.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't be ignored that this is a statewide issue and this is a very specialized field that doesn't get a lot of publicity. So I think a lot of people might not necessarily know it exists even. And I mean, young people's interest in the trades have been steadily declining, or at least offerings to get young people into trades have been declining slightly. I actually did some reporting a couple weeks ago on Sacramento County's grand jury They released a report about how the county as a whole should invest more money into trade school programs because of a statewide shortage of workers, and that they are a solid pathway into a stable career. So, I mean, maybe water treatment could be one of those programs.
Yeah, maybe. Riley, thanks for taking the trip and sharing it with us.
Thanks so much.
That is Cap Radio local government reporter Riley Palmer. We've been talking about the city of Sacramento's water treatment plant and the issues that workers are facing, from staffing shortages to skyrocketing overtime. Up next, for more than a decade, the Center for Inclusive Democracy has been a nonpartisan resource in understanding voting behaviors and barriers to the political process. The nonprofit will join us about a big change in their organization. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.